Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Verse 10. "Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly." All right, if we stop right there, everybody says, "Hey, I ain't one of the wicked, I'm one of the good guys." You can ask any person on the street, "Are you a good person?" Everybody says, "Yep, I'm a good person. I don't kill anybody." You know, very rarely do you meet a murderer who confesses on the street, even if they have done it. But everybody basically thinks they're a good person, right? I think I'm a good person. But how can we not deceive ourselves? How can we know if we really got it? The Bible continues and says, "None of the wicked shall understand." Well, what's he talking about? End time prophecy, right? This is one of the biggest revelation on end times in the entire Bible, is the book of Daniel. Between the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, there is more said about what's going to happen in the last generation than in any other literature, than in any other religion in the world. Just in those two books, never mind the rest of the Bible. He's talking about end times, and he says, "None of the wicked shall understand, but," there's hope, "the wise shall understand." The wise shall understand. Well, what side are we on? We're going to find out today. As we read through the book of a little bit of Daniel, mostly in Revelation, all right, as we go through the end time studies, if you sit there and you kind of say, "Man, this is really hard. I don't get it." Wow, you better check if you're on the right side. Because the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, this is going to be one of those things that will just be kind of like self-evident. It's going to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. It's meant for you to know. Okay, I got a church that's not convinced. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 6. We're not going to get to Revelation yet then. Hebrews chapter 6. In the New Testament, please. Hebrews chapter 6 in the New Testament. Please turn there and look at it with your own eyes. So you know I'm not just making this up. You don't have to listen to me or anybody that's just sitting or standing in the pulpit just because they got a title or a degree. You need to see it in the Word of God for yourself. And too many times, you know, I hear people just kind of fob off end time teaching and say, "Well, nobody understands this. I can't understand it. Nobody can understand it." Well, let me tell you something. God understood it when he wrote it in the Bible. And then God revealed it to his servants. They understand it. And I am one of those servants, and I'm about to reveal it to you. So you will get it if you're on the right side. Amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ." Would you say elementary? Elementary. What does that mean? What does that mean when Sherlock Holmes says, "Elementary, my dear Watson"? What does that mean? It's basic. It's self-evident. It's something that you should have seen, Watson. If you're a real criminologist, you should have seen that. You should have detected that. He says, let's leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Well, what are they? He says, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of, count them, repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, plural. So that's not just water baptism, that's Holy Spirit baptism as well. Laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. He says there are six elementary foundational doctrines in Christianity. If you want to know what they are, they're right there listed in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. If you count them, there are how many doctrines? Six. Out of those six, how many deal with end times? Two. The last two. The resurrection and judgment. That tells me that one third out of what God considers Bible basics is on eschatology. Now, that's a fancy word for some, I understand. Eschatology comes from eschatos, which means last things, and logos means the study of. You put that together, eschatology is the study of last or final or end time things. And certainly there is now a revival in interest in eschatology. You are here because you want to know what is going on in the world. What does the Bible say about this? Some of you have read a popular series called the Left Behind series. It is so popular that I think they've sold over 50 million copies. I think it hit the number one bestseller list on the New York Times list. I mean, that's amazing. That's a Christian book by a Christian author that hits the records in secular standard. That's pretty amazing. There is really a hunger and a thirst to know about end time stuff. And the Bible says we're not to be in the dark about it. In fact, it's one of the basic doctrines in Christianity. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians for a moment. If it is such a basic doctrine, there should be some evidence that the apostles taught this in their churches. What should we as pastors be teaching you in the churches? Well, we should teach you about repentance. We should teach you about faith. We should teach you about the laying on of hands. We should teach you about water baptism, spirit baptism. They're all part of the foundational doctrines of Christ. But according to Hebrews, we are also obligated to reveal to you what the Bible says concerning the end times. Now, do we have any examples of this in the Bible where the apostles, which they were the first church pioneers, the first pastors, did they do that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering unto him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. Isn't that the reaction every time we talk about end times? People are shaken and troubled. People are literally in fear. You're going to talk about what? The book of Revelation? But actually, the Bible says we are to be comforted when we learn about these things. Now, Paul says, don't be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Now, some Bible scholars say that there was actually a forgery. Somebody forged a letter in the name of Paul and sent it to them and gave them some false teachings on end times. So Paul is always putting out fires in the churches, and so he's writing this letter to respond to a problem. Somebody has written in his name telling all these guys in church, you missed the rapture. You're now in the tribulation. And these guys are taking it seriously, so they're really afraid. He said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And really, that should have been translated the departure. That refers to the rapture, okay? Unless that departure comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, that's the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. All right, there's a lot of stuff there. We're going to have to take a few weeks to go through all that. But verse 5, listen carefully. Do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? Now, what's the answer that he's expecting? He said, don't you remember I told you these things? Does he expect them to remember this? Sure, it's an implied yes. Don't you remember that I taught you about eschatology, the rapture, the coming of the Lord, the appearing of Antichrist? I mean, how many things is here just in those verses? Don't you remember that I taught you these things? Now, do you know how much time that Paul spent with the church in Thessalonica? Some of you need to go do your New Testament study again. In Acts chapter 17, you will find out that Paul spent exactly 3 Sabbaths with these guys. What does that say about us preachers today? The Apostle Paul had 3 opportunities to pioneer a brand new church in a city called Thessalonica through trouble that wasn't his own problem. He didn't stir it up, but just through certain radical events, he had to kind of run away and go to the next town. He ends up in Berea. He had 3 weeks with these brand new born-again Christians. And what did he teach them? Eschatology was at least one of the main things that he taught. That tells me it is one of the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ. It is one of the basic stuff. And we're not supposed to sit here and say, I can't understand the book of Revelation. That's too hard for me. No, you need to mix faith with the word that you hear. The Bible says that the word did not profit the Israelites who heard it because they did not receive it or mix it with faith. Amen? This is teaching for the brand new believer. If you're a new believer today, welcome. You're going to understand the book of Revelation. You're going to be able to study it, and you're going to be able to enjoy it. Why is it that the church currently seems to have a difficult time understanding end times and the book of Revelation in particular? Why is that? Because the Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, the wise will understand it. Those who live in wickedness, those who do wickedly, they will not understand. So why are born-again, spirit-filled Christians kind of in the dark about end-time studies? I believe there's at least 2 major reasons, if you would like to write them down. Number one, I believe that, first of all, we as Christians have lost our Jewish roots. I'll explain that in a second. And number 2, I believe it is because we are naive when it comes to normal standards of Bible interpretation. You hear so commonly that people just say, how can you understand the Bible because one person could interpret it this way, another person could interpret it this way, you know, so it's just kind of like up for grabs. Nobody really knows how to interpret the Bible. And yet there are clear standards on how to interpret the Bible that is agreed upon by every denomination that I know, certainly every good Bible school that you know. They would teach you these principles of what's called hermeneutics, Bible interpretation. They're real basic, real obvious things. And if you apply them, the Word of God will be clear. So we got a couple of things to touch on, and let's see if we can get through all of that. Turn with me to the book of Revelation now, please. Remember, it is the book of Revelation. Would you say that with me? Revelation. Okay, it is singular, not plural. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things which must shortly or quickly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Clearly, the Bible is not trying to be mystical or mysterious. God says that this revelation, which is not of the Antichrist, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, is meant to be heard. It's meant to be taught, it's meant to be heard, it's meant to be understood, and in fact, it's meant to be applied. Once we hear the word of God coming into our ears, we are meant to ask ourselves, how do I apply this? In my devotional time this week, I had the Holy Spirit say something very, very clearly, very sharply to me. He said, those who hear the word of God, but do not apply it, I'm not quoting him verbatim here. I wrote it down in my journal. But basically the gist is, those who hear the word of God and respond by saying, that doesn't apply to me, he said, they are already backslidden. And that was revelation to me. I thought, what do you mean? Where is that in the Bible? And the Holy Spirit said to me, Israel. Israel heard the word of God over and over and over. And they sat there thinking, you know, don't preach to the choir, preach to our neighbors. Preach to somebody else. I don't know how that applies to us. And prophet after prophet after prophet told them very similar messages, and they refused to obey. Isn't that interesting? When the Word of God comes to us, we are meant to understand it, and we are meant to apply it. That's the reason that we have the Bible. God did not write the Bible and have so many people sacrifice their lives for it so that it would sit on our lap or sit on a shelf, and we just kind of wonder like, wow, isn't God's ways mysterious? You have people say that like it's a scripture. You know, something happens in their lives. Well, aren't God's ways mysterious? Is that a scripture? Are we quoting something in the Bible when we say that? Not at all. It's better to go back to the scriptures. God wrote a book called Revelation. That tells me what kind of God He is. He wants us to know. You know, when you're a student and you get into a class and the teacher doesn't explain to you what's expected of you, doesn't tell you how you're going to be assessed, doesn't give you any clue what's going to be on the exam, don't you find that frustrating? It's torture, isn't it? And you think God is going to torture little Christians so that they don't know, they have no clue what's going to happen in the end times? Not at all. Our God is a good God. And He has revealed these things to Jesus Christ. And Jesus has shown it to His servant John. And John has penned it so that we can understand it and be blessed. The book of Revelation completes the Word of God. Without this book, the Bible would be incomplete. The book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that has an explicit promise of blessing to the reader and the hearer. No other book has that audacity to say, read me, I'm special. Read me, and you're going to be extra blessed. The book of Revelation is the only book that contains 7 letters which Jesus Himself penned to the churches. Many times Jesus is speaking to the Jews. Many times the apostles are speaking to the churches. But in the book of Revelation, we have recorded 7 specific letters penned by the Lord Himself. If there's anything that you need to know in the book of Revelation, it's certainly those 7 letters written to us, the church. Every Christian should be thoroughly familiar with what Jesus finds pleasing and displeasing, and they're written by Himself in the book of Revelation. I believe every leader, every pastor should study very seriously Revelations chapter 2 and 3. That's the only time Jesus specifically wrote to the churches. I find that exciting, don't you? And the devil has put fear into this subject so that people stay away from the book of Revelation. It is part of your balanced diet. It's part of the broccolis and the peas. You got to eat them as well. Amen? All right, let's go to verse 19. Jesus announces to John, verse 18, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. That's good. Verse 19, Jesus instructs John, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Say after this. That's a trigger phrase that's going to be used again and again. We'll come back to that if we get the time to get a little bit deeper. But basically, the book of Revelation gives an organizational outline in verse 19. Jesus Himself, He organizes the book for us. Isn't that good? And anyone who reads the Bible seriously partitions the book of Revelation into 3 parts. The things which John has seen. That's chapter 1. The things which are. That's chapter 2 and 3. And the things that shall be hereafter. I'm quoting the King James. The things that will take place after this. That's from chapter 4 to the end. Chapter 22. All right, so you got it? Revelation chapter 1, speaking about the past, what John has seen. Revelation chapter 2 and 3, speaking about the present church age. A lot of exciting information there, directly relevant to the church. In fact, it's the easiest part of the book of Revelation to understand. And it's the most relevant part to the church. So we ought to be studying that again and again. There's seven epistles by Jesus. And then the things that will be, Revelations 4 to 22, that's the future. Got it? Those are the three partitions. Now, everything that happens from chapter 4 onwards is future tense.
You've just listened to part of an audio teaching CD. For the full message, please visit Discover Ministries' website at discover.org.au. You can also obtain other teaching CDs, DVDs, or other resources by Pastor Steve Ciccolanti. We trust that you are blessed by this teaching.